Beyond the official narrative. I'm your host.
Oh, sorry, guys. I had the wrong show. My bad. This is William Merpillum. Welcome to the Punch Bowl. Just making fun of Richard a little bit there. Ha ha ha. So, tonight I've got a special guest with me, Paul Stevenson, Paul Edward Stevenson from the UK. It's late at night for him, but he's agreed to join me. We're going to look at this. I'm still stuck on this Candace Owens rabbi conversation because there's so much. It's so much good stuff in here. But I also at the same time have one eye open on it because I'm looking at a picture that's on the National File video, which we put on the RBN newsreel. It's the picture before you get to the video, the YouTube video. And Candace Owens is looking at this Jew who's coming unhinged, and she's looking at him kind of squinting her eyes like, I smell a rat. And it's a really great look that she has on her face. But at the same time, I'm like, what are they doing? Are they trying to are they throwing this out here like a red herring? Like, okay, the reasonable black woman is going to lead the charge against the unhinged Jew, and they've decided to sort of allow this dialectical playpen for us to kind of amuse ourselves in while they go ahead and take over and do these other things that we need to talk about. So I'm not going to spend the whole show on this, but I do want to play a clip and I want to jump into some other stories. I'm just going to bust into them ad hoc here on the fly, and we're going to touch on them a bit here. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org and donate whatever you can, folks. Times are tough for us right now. I mean, really, really bad. I still am not working. We're locked out of the system. We're being locked out of the system by this identity verification crap that, you know, it's because we need more added cybersecurity. Oh, all the cybersecurity threats, which we know who the real cybersecurity threat is, you know. It's Google, and it's the criminal state that is running the show, okay? It's not just Israel. It's Israel plus. So, Paul, welcome to the show. Thank you for tolerating my monologue there.
Yeah, and interesting intro as well. I thought I was on Beyond the Official Narrative there for a second.
Hopefully if Richard was taking a nap and he heard that and then he woke up, probably.
You might feel the wrath of Richard tomorrow for your taking the mickey out of his intro.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So how have you been, Paul?
Yeah, okay, sort of like I said to you off air, I've sort of still been a very lingering kind of some sort of something going on, but well, the upside is I had a nap, because one of the symptoms is fatigue, so I had a nap this afternoon, which means I can join you tonight, I guess. So yeah. Every cloud.
Happy to have you on and get your input. Now I'm going to go ahead and play this clip here. I'm going to play another clip. I didn't play it last night, but I'm playing it tonight. This is the clip where he says that it's not okay to say that Jews... Jews control Hollywood. What's that?
You're just about to ruin my evening.
Yeah, I heard that before from my girlfriend, who always says that every time I try to bring this stuff up. So,
I did listen to it off, by the way, after you sent it again, and I found it on I found that video as well. So yeah, I heard what he was talking about. There's a lot of just absolute lies in there, and some attempts at some typical Jewish misdirection in there as well. But play it, and then we can critique it.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to play about 7 minutes of it. It's pretty good. All right, Mike, if you don't mind starting it up there at 1:23, if you folks only get to listen to one part of it, I would say listen to this part, this pill pull situation.
That stops by the 60s and 70s and is totally gone by the 80s and 90s. Okay? And it is gone. It is a trope that people say. Understand that when we go back, remember we talked about the blood libel? Mm-hmm. Blood libel has become a term that's understood by academics, anthropologists, socialists, not political, but social anthropologists. The blood libel is when you're blaming Jews for the problems of people that other people. That you're radically blaming them for because of the anti-Semitism as a form of anti-Semitism. For many decades.
Stop real quick. Stop. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, be prepared. I want to just interject what he's getting ready to say, and I know you're going to hear it, but let me emphasize it, okay? All he's talking about is that she said, she repeated what the Jews already say in their articles that they printed, and she cites these articles that the Jews control Hollywood. So this guy's going on this blood libel, having this conniption fit over blood libel, just for acknowledging something that actually happened. You know, it's unbelievable. Okay. Go ahead, Paul. Yeah, you got it.
Well, also he said that he came out with some lies about that the Jews sort of ceased to have power in Hollywood in the 60s. That is demonstrably a lie. He also said that this blood libel idea is that people blame Jews for their own problems or other things like that. Well, no, we're not doing that. We are pointing out facts, and we are blaming Jews for what Jews are doing. And like you said, she was quoting a lot of Jews themselves, and Jews do this. If you say Jews, for example, have a huge role in mass immigration, well, depending on who's saying it, they will say you're anti-Semitic, or if it's a particular audience that likes multiculturalism, well, they'll take credit for it, and you can quote these people taking credit for it. It's the same thing with the banking systems. If anybody talks, I remember, I forget who it was. I remember a few years ago. Where they did it, someone was criticizing the international banking system. There was no mention of Jews, and a lot of Jews came out and called this person an anti-Semite. So they revealed themselves there, So anyway,
yeah. All right, let's continue on with it. I'm going to write down some notes and try to let it play all the way through this time.
Form of anti-Semitism. For many decades, you were told, "Oh, the Jews control Hollywood. This secret cabal, and they control Hollywood." You perpetuated that. Again, I understand you're defending against Shmuley Boteach. I understand that you've explained yourself about Rabbi Shmuley. But you made the specific comments about this.
Stop there 1 second. Listen to how he says you explained yourself. This is how they conduct the interview. You're always on the defensive. You're always on trial here. For anti-Semitism, she's explained herself, is what he said to her. This is the whole way that the whole interview is conducted. She's always, on the defensive, because they're always, accusing you. They're always pointing the finger at you. You're on trial here, right? Simply for, this is how they operate, constantly. Sorry to interject, but it's a small thing, but it's a big thing. The way he said you explained yourself, like she has to.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah yeah. Oh, it's a great point, and I'm glad you interjected that point. Let's continue on.
I understand you're defending against Shmuley Botak. I understand that you've explained yourself about Rabbi Shmuley, but you made the specific comments about this Jewish group, I think you call them gangs or thugs, as opposed to saying that there are people who run Hollywood who are bad people, do bad things. I'm not going to question whether there are or are not. But you identify the noun, so their adjective of acting badly, as a Jew. When the reality is that Jews don't control Hollywood. There may be many executives who are Jews, but that doesn't mean that they are anything other than Jew in name only. They go to temple twice a year. You and I both know Christians stop. Like let's, that, right?
Let's stop again. All right. Sorry, guys. Maybe we will just keep stopping it because, all right, what did he just do?
That's the misdirection, you see.
Yeah. I mean, lying, we heard that. But even before the blatant lie happened, Jews don't control Hollywood. It's like, okay. Here, let me invent a new reality, and I'm going to superimpose it on the real one, and you have to believe it. So he's getting ready to instruct her and tell her what she's supposed to think, what she's supposed to say, and no, you did not. It's like the chutzpah of these people. Like, who do these people think they are? All right, these people's a credit. They're, what do they call it? What's the word, Paul? Is their credit, their stock in humanity is diminishing like at a rapid pace right now. Their stock is going into the toilet. And I mean, this is just so disgusting. And people think they are, that they get to instruct other people on what they're supposed to think and what they're supposed to say.
He said it with such nonchalance that without any self-awareness that is exactly what he did. You know, he said to her, here's what you should have said, or something to words to that effect. I mean, it's staggering. I mean, most people don't talk like this, but this is why, like you said, they are advised not to have these kind of debates, because it's quite obvious, it's quite shocking to people. And then the misdirection is that he then talks about how Jews are essentially a religion. There are many non-practicing Jews and this type of stuff. Well, the Ashkenazi Jews are not going to be showing up in the synagogue. The majority of the Jews in the state of Israel are, you know, the Zionists are atheistic Ashkenazi Jews. They don't go to the synagogue. The people who run Hollywood, most of them, if any of them, don't go to the synagogue. So he is trying to conflate this nonsense by saying, you know, a Christian in name only, a Jew in name only. No, sorry. You guys, when you all get together, you might have your little squabbles about religious Jews and non-religious Jews, but you're all Jews, and you are more than just a religion, which, by the way, a religion which worships yourself.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah, there is no Messiah, okay?
There's no deity apart from
them. The Messiah is the realization of their New World Order. That's what the Messiah is.
Yeah, it's one of them.
I mean, it's all of them. They consider themselves to be God themselves, like the body of the Jewish people. They consider to be God. Yeah.
They worship themselves. Yeah. That's what they do. And, you know, it's why we're on the
ultimate narcissists.
Yeah, it was a parallel counterfeit religion in ancient times. These are the people that killed the prophets, and they wrote down the Talmud. These people are always acting as if they have the oldest religion. No, they wrote down the Talmud. It was passed on through word of mouth that after the temple, it should be a clue that the Old Testament people and God's people, they worshipped in the temple because that's where you atone for your sins through animal sacrifice. The temple was destroyed in AD 70. Christ was the new temple and the chief cornerstone and all the rest of it that we now have. So these people just said, okay, well, the temple's gone, but sure, we don't really care about all that anyway, so we'll just crack on. So you have rabbinic Judaism, and they wrote down what is essentially the Talmud about 3 centuries after Christ and about 2 centuries, you know, after the gospel. So now It's not the oldest religion.
Yeah. All right, let's continue on with it. It's going to go into something else here too, where I forgot. Go ahead. Let's just keep playing it.
But there may be many executives who are Jews, but that doesn't mean that they are anything other than Jew in name only. They go to temple twice a year. You and I both know Christians like that, right?
Yes.
I would not judge Christians based on the idea that some of those guys who don't really practice Christianity, as my friends who are pastors define it, I'm not Christian, that people call themselves Christian but don't act in a Christian way. I would never use the noun of Christians. Whether these people, their mothers were Jewish or not, you perpetuated an anti-Semitic trope that is almost a century old. And as opposed to saying there are some bad guys who are doing bad things, and when they're called out about it, they hide behind a call of anti-Semitism. That's a very different kind of statement that you could have said, as opposed to talking about the Hollywood Jews, the Jews controlling Hollywood, that whole thing.
Well, I never said the Jews control Hollywood, but Jewish people have said that. We can share an article, I have a link here, LA, that was published in the LA Times a couple of years ago, where a Jewish man wrote, let's face it, we do run Hollywood. That was totally fine a couple of years ago. Maybe he's anti-Semitic,
it's not
though.
Ever been. It's not ever been fun.
Okay, there well, I'm just saying, like, this was something, this has been said, and it's actually funny because I was reading a very old article yesterday, forgetting the guy's name, I'm blanking on him, but he was the founder of Screw Magazine. He's a Jewish guy, Al something. I'm blanking on his name. Anyways, he gave a very long interview about how, you know, the Jews hire the Jews when they get into Hollywood. And like I said, this was said not 100 years ago. So this was something that many Jewish people have said, but sure, I guess you're saying that now it's a trope, but I just want to be clear that many Jewish people have said this in many interviews within the last 50 years. Okay.
I do want to press pause
on that and ask you a question. Is it possible for Jewish people to form a gang, full stop?
Define gang.
To form a gang.
Let me phrase that, because I don't even need to ask that question. The answer is, of course, there is, because there were Jewish gangs
okay.
in New York.
Okay, yes, of course. Percent. Common sense that Jewish people can form a gang, black people can form a gang, gangs exist, will always exist, Jewish gangs have existed and will always exist, like, you know, worldwide, gangs happen. How absurd it is to say that if you think that there is a gang that is operating, to even suggest that there might be a person in the gang, that is automatically a trope. That would mean it would be impossible for us to illustrate the gang existing. As soon as you say it's a trope and magically you can't talk about it, I gave examples of multiple people in Hollywood, okay? We're talking about from Dave Chappelle to Kanye West to Cat Williams, to other artists that are Christian that have said that there is some sort of a gang, full stop, that is operating in Hollywood. I then gave an example of a list of exact names that Michael Jackson said were operating as a gang. Rabbi Shmuley was among that list of people. So to say that we can't even explore that possibility, that Rabbi Shmuley, you know, and that this list that somebody is giving or something that artists are saying might be true is somehow anti-Semitic. I'm not saying all Jewish people are gang members. I am saying that it is, of course, possible that a gang is operating anywhere in the world. That should just be allowed to be said without being accused of creating
a
trope.
Candace, again, we're at the same place that we started at, of when I said to you, I don't get to tell a black man if he's feeling racist. I don't get to tell a woman if you're experiencing misogyny. I keep telling you that things you have said repeatedly are hurtful to a huge number of Jews and are considered anti-Semitic. And instead of hearing any, wow, I didn't realize that, all I have heard for the lengthy time we've been on together, which I, again, consider gracious and kind of you, but all I have heard from you, not one sense of responsibility, not one, you know, I've said to you that if something is true or not true, I don't have issues saying I'm wrong, I don't have issues apologizing, but I haven't heard from you one sense of responsibility that you have, just use this as the example, You have tapped into a...
Stop for a second here. This is too good to miss anything here. So full of meat and potatoes. Okay, so... Oh, man. What do you think, Paul? Do you have any... You want to comment first?
Well, again, typical projection. The kettle calling the pot black, pointing the finger, accusing you're not taking responsibility for your anti-Semitism. The subjectivism of anti-Semitism, of course, because, you know, I used the example of black people, you know, feeling, you know, race, feeling that they're, you know, I'm not telling a black person how, if they feel that they're persecuted by through racism, or a woman if she's experiencing misogyny or feels that she's experiencing misogyny. This is now, unfortunately, crept into our legal system, where you have a blurring of what previously was definitive legal terms and legal lines, where you knew whether you were crossing or not. But now you have people who come forward and say, well, you know, this is reaching like a boiling point, for example, up in Scotland at the moment, where it really is a totally subjective thing, where someone can say, well, I felt very alarmed and very hurt by what that person says. And then there's a case to answer for. The police can come, and of course you can accuse anybody. And this guy has just demonstrated that this, you know, we should not be surprised where this kind of mindset comes from, because, you know, you're responsible if you happen to have an opinion which I don't like, whether, you know, and whether it's based on facts or not. If I feel hurt, or if I feel offended by it, well, you know, this is a problem, you know. So this is how they disarm people, and this is how they control, and that's what it's all about. It is all about control.
Oh, my God. Paul, such great points, and that's why we have this lawfare system now. It's because of Jews like this that pressure, you know, everybody capitulate to this way of thinking, which is completely antithetical to any European way of thinking, which, if you want to follow the European model, you know, without the Jew in it, it's clearly the Jew is a toxic poison, and this Jew has really exposed that situation. And it's, I'm so grateful for this interview. I mean, I just can't stress it enough. It's just, I thought the Jews weren't supposed to engage in arguments, just like you said, but why did they do it here? Why did they allow this to happen here? You know, that's something we got to keep one eye open about.
Yeah.
But the lawfare. We got the lawfare situation. You've got it real bad. Our Magna Carta, you know, the things that, you know, philosophy, reason, you know, equal justice, all that stuff has gone out the window now because of people like this guy.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think Candace ever said, you know, that every Jew is involved in this, you know, situation in Hollywood, but, you know, the ones who are and the ones with the most influence to the point of essentially running Hollywood are Jewish. Or this guy might have an issue with that, and Jewish name. Well, I'm sorry, but, you know, you can take that up with your Jewish friends themselves. But to me, they're Jewish. They claim to be Jewish. And the state of Israel is full of these people. They don't go to the synagogue. And the last time I checked, the state of Israel was a state for Jews. It's a Jewish state. So, you know, this is kind of... this is the kind of leisure domain that they indulge in. They're very slippery, you know, and you can see it in the interview that Candace, you know, is immediately, you know, she's defensive because you're not having an honest conversation with an honest broker. You know, you're having a conversation with a little slippery weasel.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I actually think she's handled it pretty well. She's remained very calm. I don't think I ever saw her get really upset. I mean, I think she got a little vehement at one point, but I'm just, yeah, and this is why I kind of go, oh, okay, are they going to have the reasonable black woman leading the charge? It's kind of like how, you know, on the TV, I don't mean to be... so pessimistic. I'm grateful for all of the red pilling that can take place wherever we can get it. But you see the commercials where it's like the black man is always the dominant male, and then the white man is like the, you know, could there be a little bit of that going on here as they drop this little bone for us?
Mm. Well, you know, they also weaponize black people as well, and
absolutely,
they indulge in divide and conquer, and they stir up the pot. I mean, if you look at the Gospels, how the Jews always operated, you know, there's lots of little phrases in there where you see them. You know, when Paul was going around the Roman Empire and trying to spread the gospel, there's always the Jews who are the quote is, they were stirring up the people. You know, they don't actually come out necessarily directly, but they stir up the people, and they still do the same thing today. When all these color revolutions and things like that, well, they're over there stirring up the people. That's what they do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing's changed, has it? All right, well, let's continue on with
that. No, it hasn't changed. It hasn't. You know, this is the same. It's incredible. But, you know, you're looking at the same thing, you know, century after century.
Century after century, yeah. Yeah, something's got to change. Let's continue with it.
Just use this as the example. You have tapped into a thousand-year-old blood libel trope, a century-old trope specifically about Hollywood. And you keep going off, well, can't this be intellectually right? Can't you do this? You've heard a bunch of Jews. Did you want to?
Absolutely
yes or no?
Not. Absolutely not.
Okay. You did. You have. You continue to.
Yes. I understand. And what I would say
to you don't want to, then realize that what you're saying is it taps into centuries old hate. Realize
I get what you were saying, but I'm going to tell you what this is reminiscent to me of. This is reminiscent of when... Listen, please just let me finish my statement. This is reminiscent to me of when I got interested about BLM and I thought that there was corruption in BLM and black people all over America were crying, insisting on the BLM narrative, and I thought that there was corruption and that this was operating like a gang and they were taking money and there was money laundering. There were tons of people, Al Sharpton among them, and it sounds a little, you know, you can't possibly say this, Candace. You can't... it leans into this. It leans into that. But my instincts are my instincts, and I have a right to pursue those instincts. And to the extent that any black person was harmed in the making of my documentary, and then I ended up being proven right that there was corruption that was happening, I'm very sorry that they felt that way. So I will say, to the extent that any person who is finding my interest in what is happening in Hollywood feels that is leaning into some trope and that I shouldn't, you know, keep going, I am sorry that you feel that way. But I am also going to follow.
I'm sorry.
But
I am also disingenuous.
I'm telling you that I understand that people have feelings, but I would like to follow and pursue the facts. And the facts are that many people in Hollywood are saying that there is some sort of a gang that is operating. I am not blaming Jewish people. Okay, well, I'm not blaming Jewish people for that at all. So I just want to be very clear.
That is an anti-Semitic trope that has led to all sorts of horrible things.
What did it mean to you in Hollywood?
I'm telling you, as someone who knows this, and by the way, again, maybe you should read what I was writing about BLM, because you and I were on the same page.
Okay, and did you get called racist and people calling you all sorts of names that maybe weren't true because you thought BLM was just actually corrupt?
I actually took them on about the fact.
Okay. All right. I got caught up in trying to get Mike to stop the video, and I forgot Mike. But, I mean, did you guys hear what just happened? Okay, we're going up, good place to stop. All right, we're going up against the, I'll go back and listen to that and figure out what the heck I was trying to say, because I just slipped my mind. I don't know what's going on. And we'll be right back. I got Paul Edward Stevenson with me, and we got Chance in West Virginia and Joe in Florida. Swap those around in order. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I remember what my point was. I just needed a remember the word disingenuous. Okay, so the Jew didn't get the right answer that it wanted, and so it responded by telling the respondent that she was disingenuous, when that was the exact opposite of what was happening. It wasn't that she was disingenuous.
He called her disingenuous when she said, well, I'm sorry you feel the way you do.
Yeah.
So in other words, she put it back to him and the focus on his feelings. And then she followed that up by saying, but, you know, I need, you know, my instincts are, that, you know, I need to follow this, like Black Lives Matter with the corruption there. And I need to follow this because I need to go where the facts are. And this is where they don't want you to go, which is why they have to try and constantly put obstacles in your way all the time. Because, you know, when you look at it, you know, I don't know exactly what the demographic anatomy is of those who, you know, yielded the power in Hollywood, but it's probably almost exclusively Jewish. You're not talking about a handful of rogue Jews. And it's the same in the banking system as well. So then, you know, then they say, oh, this is very offensive to you know, a lot of us Jews to see this as a trope. Well, I'm sorry that you feel offended. It's not my intention to offend you. My intention is to look at the facts and identify what's going on here, because these things are having a detrimental effect on our country and our culture, et cetera, et cetera. So
We can't focus on that. Screw what everybody else feels about the Jewish behavior and how horrible it is.
By the way,
we need to focus on the fact that you speaking the truth hurt so many Jews' feelings, and you know, it's unacceptable.
Last time I checked, there was no qualifiers in critical race theory. You know,
I didn't understand the joke, but
Well, there was no qualifiers of, well, not all white people are racist. Critical race theory says all white people are racist.
They are
hopelessly racist and incurably racist. They talk about imperialism, they don't say, well, you know, 98% of the British public had no say, had no participation in the imperialistic endeavors of the British Empire. It was almost entirely exclusively by the aristocrat class, but no, we must all suffer collective punishment, and so does Europe, and so does Germany for, you know, for the crimes of Nazi Germany as they present them. So again, you have this double standard. But no, you can't call all us Jews. You know, you have to sort of tiptoe around it, walk on eggshells. You know,
at the end of the day, I mean, with the conversation, the Jew only compares about shifting blame away, and the Jews never getting blamed for anything. And the whole thing, the Jew does not want to have the conversation that leads to the Jew needing to take any responsibility for the horrors that they've committed. And they're just, and a part of it is, I could sit here and say it's understandable. What this Jew is doing is exactly what's causing problems in the world. I mean, if we were to remove this problem from the world, like if there was a way for it to be removed, right? There would be a void there in a way, right? Okay, so let me go on another thing. Okay, and we got to get to our callers. We got you guys. Thanks for waiting, Joe and Chance. So we're going to pull you guys in pretty quick here. But let's just say, okay, this was removed. So how would the rest of humanity respond? Because obviously we're not all perfect either, right? We have a certain race of people that have decided that they're the masters of the planet, and now they have. And now they're becoming extremely transparent to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world's going to say, no, you're not. You're done. You know, and I feel kind of scared for a lot of these people, right? I mean, we see some of these folks, it's like you guys need to get your minds right. You need to get your heads out of this this way of thinking that you've been brainwashed with since birth. You know, some of us, the argument whether that's all genetics or whether this is, you know, learned, I'm more on the side of, this is more of a learned thing. You know, there probably is some genetic element to it, but the end of the day, everybody's got to take responsibility for their own actions. And there's some hard realities coming for these people. And I would say get right now, because it's coming. It's coming. No matter how many more people you kill and take out and torture and rape and murder and destroy with your pill pull, it's going to come back on you. You're not going to be able to. It's just going to get worse the more you keep doing that stuff. So get right. All right. So let's see. I think we're pretty close to being done with this. Let's just play out another minute or so, and then I'm going to take the calls.
That many people in Hollywood are saying that there is some sort of a gang that is operating. I am not blaming Jewish people.
Anti-Semitic law.
Okay, well, okay. I'm not blaming Jewish people for that at all. So I just want to be very clear.
But that is an anti-Semitic trope that has led to all sorts of horrible things.
What did it mean to you in Hollywood?
I'm telling you, as someone who knows this, and by the way, again, maybe you should read what I was writing about BLM, because you and I were on the same page.
Okay, and did you get called racist and people calling you all sorts of names that maybe weren't true because you thought BLM was just actually corrupt?
I actually took them on about the fact that all lives matter. My house was vandalized four times.
And that was considered racist at that time. So would you have been right to revoke that and apologize to black people because they said that was racist?
But here's the thing. No one sat there and said, you're a racist about it.
They said all lives matter was racist.
They said all sorts of things. And I got death threats. And as I say, my house was vandalized four times.
Mm-hmm. But you were right.
I called for a strike of MLB on PJ Media, of Major League Baseball, the day that they decided to put BLM on Major League Baseball. And if someone said to me, you know what, you're playing into a stereotype that goes back centuries old of fill in the blank, I would have rewritten something. I would have said, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am telling you with absolute authority that what you are saying about Hollywood is anti-Semitic. This is constant, and it is an expression of a blood libel going back to 1144. You're saying, well, I don't need to hurt someone.
This is where she needs to tell the Jew. I didn't say it. The Jew said it. Right? Why is she allowing him to put this blame on her for what she's saying when the Jew said it? I mean, so.
Yeah, and you know, it's quite clear. I mean, he says, I can tell you with absolute authority. Well, that's your opinion. Yeah. Based on your opinion, anything negative or anything factual about Jews is considered anti-Semitic.
That's exactly that. That is exactly it. Dang
it. And she should tell him how dangerous that is. Considering he said he had his house robbed. Well, okay, if you're over here in the UK, you call someone anti-Semitic and you end up in the court for it, you don't get vandalized or get death threats. You go to prison for 3-4 years.
Oh, man, exactly.
So it's not like there's no consequences for it. But he's throwing out a word which, you know, can land you in prison.
Exactly. Yeah, he's libeling. I mean, you talk about libel. It isn't just destroying someone's reputation. It's destroying someone's life, what this guy is doing. This guy is out to destroy Candace Owens. He comes in pretending, I care about you. I want you to be. Oh, God. Please. Hey, let's go ahead and take our callers. Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome.
Hey, William, great to hear you, Paul, and Luca. Great to hear Luca on the air on RBN tonight, too. Thanks for playing this interview. I didn't actually hear all of it, although I've heard a lot about it, so that's great, William. The thing that strikes me about this, and, you know, the writer Joseph Sobrin, is famous for his quip, hilarious but true line, that an anti-Semite used to be someone who doesn't like Jews, and now it's just anyone the Jews don't like. They reversed it, right? So this guy is on there. Is he a rabbi, by the way? Is this the rabbi?
Yes,
Rabbi Bradley?
Rabbi Michael Barclay.
Oh, like Barclay. Okay.
The bank, you know? Oh, no, it's a Jew.
And so he's on there patronizing, right? You know, Candace Owen is a brilliant person. She's fearless. She's very intelligent, okay? So the first thing is you have this insufferable Jew saying to Candace, you know, don't you know where you belong, right? And saying to her, like she says, oh, you don't get it, Candace. And he's talking down to her. The Jew is always the victim, right? So somehow, I mean, what does this guy think? Does he think that she's going to like instantaneously fold like a cheap parent? Not a lot of people do, you know. Oh my goodness, I'm offending a Jew, right? Right? No. Candace is fearless. And I will just say something I learned about it is her husband, George Former Paul, you know more about this than I would, but a very sort of aristocratic Protestant British family just last year converted to Catholicism. I had a very serious conversion. I don't know about Candace if she's Catholic, but the point is it's an influence, right? So here she is standing tall against the Jew. Now, the other part of it is the name I think she was looking for in this interview when she talked about there was a Jewish guy talking about how Hollywood is owned by the Jews, Neil Gabler, a Jewish author, and he wrote the book, An Empire of Their Own, a story about how Jews created Hollywood, you know. And it's fascinating because if you listen, it's called An Empire of Their Own, How the Jews Invented Hollywood, Neil Gabler, who's Jewish. It's interesting, if you listen to this rabbi, one of the things that you're talking about, too, William, is he never actually, this is what the Jew does. He doesn't actually engage in her points, right? He's not going to refute. Because what he could have done, right, rather than saying, oh, you don't get it. You're using tropes. You're whatever. He's trying to get her to enforce his language rules, right, to adopt his language rules. Yeah. But you won't go for that. You know, and so what he could have done maybe was taken the approach of Neil Gabler, who is very proud of the fact that Jews, in fact, do run Hollywood, okay? That's the thesis of his book. But no, he doesn't do that, right? He falls for the typical Jewish argument, which is that you're not playing by the Jew rules. You know, you're violating the Jew taboo. What do you think?
Yeah. No, he's forcing the Jew religion onto the world. The Jew religion, this disgusting, satanic hate cult onto the rest of the world. I mean, it's it needs to be called out for what it is.
Right. And she has the nerve.
I was just going to say that's the whole purpose of Hollywood to do just that. What you just said there.
They did create Hollywood. Yeah.
And they run it still. And the thing is this: he comes on this rabbi with his attitude. I actually agree, and Dr. Marco Johnson said it. You know, this is like a turning point. That's why I'm glad you played this interview, because what's happening here is we're seeing in real time the paradigm shift. They are not going to kowtow. Candace Owens is not going to kowtow to them. She stood up and she said the key thing in that whole interview, in my opinion, was your religion, you're not going to trump my religion with your religion, right? And that's really what's happened in America the last 7 years, let's say. The Jews are trying to enforce their religion on us. And God bless Candace Owens.
Yeah.
She's saying,
exactly.
No,
E. Michael
that's
Jones
my religion, and you're not going to force it on me.
Yes. That's exactly right.
E. Michael Jones points this out really well. If you just listen to any of his videos, he talks about this all the time. It's a central theme to a lot of his discussions. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to, if you could just bear with me, I can read something out here very quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Forwards.
He said, we've got to get Jews, to Chance, though, first.
It'll take 2 seconds, but it's very pertinent. The Jews' interference with the religion of others and the Jews' determination to wipe out of public life every sign of predominant Christian character of the United States is the only form of religious intolerance in the country today. Not content with the failure, the fullest liberty to follow their own faith in peace and quietness in a country where none dare make them afraid, the Jews declare, we read it in their activities, that every sight and sound of anything Christian is an invasion of their peace and quietness. You know, in other words, they have no tolerance for Christianity. It's not just a case of, you know, they want to be left alone in peace to practice. They have to be imposing through this interview, like you've outlined, and through Hollywood.
Oh, man. And, you know, when people try to talk about it's a faith, and, it, you know, all faiths must be respected, and, you know, it's all, you know, all people play into this, and I just want to just pull my hair out with these people that are just so clueless. They have no idea that, no, this specific religion is coming after everything, and if their religion is to force their religion onto the rest of the world and to not allow anybody to live peaceably. And then they want to blame Christianity for that exact thing. They're saying that
exactly.
Christianity.
And I would just say, the last thing I'll say, thanks, William, is that the answer to this is what Candace Owens is doing. It's for people who are Christians to come back and actually practice their faith, get serious about it, and then you get the courage to call the Jew out, okay? That's when you get the courage. When you have the courage and you know the truth of the Christian religion, then you can call the Jew out for who they are and what they do. Thanks, guys. Great show tonight.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Good, great points. I would say that the situation is this. Being a Christian right now is essentially talking about what the Jew is doing and then taking that big risk. Because right now, Christians are at terrible risk for being tortured, murdered, put in camps by Jews, and it's a very dire situation. So being a Christian is a very risky thing. Okay, these people that go to these evangelical churches are not Christians. They're Christian Zionists, so they're Jews. They're just practicing Judaism. They're not going to ever actually take up the cross.
And churches everywhere. I mean, they're basically synagogues masquerading as churches, you know?
Yep. Exactly. All right, let's jump over to Chance. Chance, welcome.
Yeah, hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You know,
how's West Virginia?
I don't trust this woman, okay? I don't trust anybody who even halfway grovels to these friggin' termites. Now, look at it this way. In your personal life, right, I would say to somebody, who the hell do you think you are that you feel I got to justify myself to you or explain to you? Think about it. I resent the fact you're making me walk on broken glass. He's too timid as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a psyop. And people who think she's going to be their savior because, do you notice how she conducts herself? I see timidity. All right, I see a little intellect, sure, but I see timidity. You can't deal with these people that way. Would you do that in your personal life? If you did, you'd be screwed over and over and over. Think about it.
Well, Chance, I would say that the Overton there's the Overton window question in this equation here, right? I get what you're saying because I'm also keeping one eye open for this to be a psyop, you know.
I think it is,
and I agree. There were certain things that I think she could have pressed harder on him about. However, I do see that this did serve to shift the Overton window, and even if it is a psyop, because I mean, we can still actually use this and do a lot with it. And what you're pointing out, I think, is an important point as well.
Well, listen, there's a time to be nice, and there's a time to stick your foot up somebody's ass. That's the way I see it, okay? And to sit there and say, oh, please, can I explain this? No, I don't play that game. I don't play that game with people in my personal life. I certainly wouldn't do it with people who put me on the defensive like that. I tell them where to go in a heartbeat. I don't see anybody standing up and being tough with them. I see them begging to explain, begging to answer. I mean, do you beg your enemy for a favor? I mean, think about it.
I guess I get what you're saying because there were moments like kind of, but I think she was a lot more firm.
Not firm enough. Not firm enough. I mean, you're
the end of the conversation a little too soon. You know, she got a whole hour and 45 minutes of this Jew kvetching and exposing himself, you know?
I wouldn't let the SOB make me walk on broken glass. I wouldn't let anybody make me walk on broken glass. I'd set him straight from the get-go. And that's what I think people should do. I don't look up to these people who are wishy-washy. I don't respect wishy-washy people. I really don't. You know, either crap or get off the pot. I mean, that's how I see it, especially nowadays, with how far down the road we are. I mean, if you're not upset, then you're of no use. You're of no use. This is no time for friendly dialogue and beg to make your point. It's time to make demands and say this is the way it is and this is the way it's going to be. And with that, guys, thank you now.
All right, Chance. Appreciate it. Paul, let me kick it over to you. What are your thoughts here?
Well, I mean, it's easy to observe, you know, and say she should have done this, she should have done that. Maybe, you know, she should have done. Maybe if we were there as men, we might be a little bit more forthright. But she's a woman. It's not really her style. I think she stood her ground in her own way. Like I said, it's easy after the fact to look at, you know, especially when you're dealing with these types of people, you know, the constant accusations. Their whole MO is to put you on the back foot. And I thought, for the most part, she handled it well, although at the same time, of course, you know, maybe if she wasn't, you know, if she wasn't generally a sort of gentle kind of a spirit, then maybe someone would have pushed back more aggressively, and maybe that would be better. Probably would. I mean, I can imagine if, you know, if I was talking to a guy like that, I would, you know, certain things would just jump out at me that I would, you know, set the parameters early on. But like I said, you know, there's a lot of pressure on her. She's high profile. And when you're dealing with these people, they have a lot of power. So I think she's like navigating, you know, a certain territory there. And it's not the easiest territory, you know. So, like you said, I think there's an Overton window going on. Overall, I think she's done a service, you know. Notwithstanding, I take Chance's points, and I understand the frustration. We share such frustrations, obviously. Lost connection, have we, William?
Ah, no, I was just... Okay, yeah, we are at the end of the show. So, Paul, I want to thank you for joining me. And you got your show tomorrow, right? At what time?
On Sunday at 1 p.m. Central.
1 p.m. Central, all right. Well, cool. You can find Paul Edward Stevenson tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central, folks, on his show. And thank you for joining us tonight. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Talk to you later.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.